Today is our last sermon in our series of Hot Topics, Biblical Perspectives for Political Issues. And today is not necessarily a political issue, but it's stating some truth that some of us may need to struggle with and deal with come Wednesday morning. And that's God's sovereignty. Okay? Now, let me just tell you, God's sovereignty does not have just anything to do with just political issues, but God is sovereign in all aspects of every area of your life. If you're walking through a trial right now, guess what? God is sovereign. Okay? If you're dealing with some pain this morning, guess what? God is sovereign. If you're dealing with the loss of job right now, guess what? God is sovereign. He is in control of all things, all times, and there is nothing that goes under His nose that He is unaware of or that He doesn't have a part in play to bring about His plan, which is eventually Jesus Christ coming back to take His church home. God is sovereign. Can I get an amen? Amen. We're getting fired up this morning. So as we approach the close of this election season, and can we just say praise the Lord that we're at the close of the election season? I'm all done with all of this. And listen, I understand that it can be natural to feel anxious or uncertain leading up to the days because in today's culture, we prop up political people like a sports team. I don't know if my person's going to win. I hope their person doesn't win. But listen, it is natural to have some anxiousness or to be uncertain about the things that are about to come. What's life going to be like next week? I saw the thing floating around on Facebook that said we're just a few days away to figuring out if we can afford our groceries and if we're fighting in World War III. Listen, God is sovereign. Amen. Period. He is sovereign. There's nothing that catches Him by surprise. And there's going to be times in our life that we go through. I can already feel my voice is starting to give out on me here. We're going to go through situations in our life that feel really crummy, that feel like God is absent. But do you know that God uses those situations to build His people up, to build His faith, so when we come out on the next side, we are stronger in our relationship with Him than what we were when the trial started? Amen. Because God is sovereign. If you leave here today, you're going to leave here saying, God is sovereign. Okay? So, it's natural that we have some anxiousness and uncertainties. But let's ask ourselves a couple of deeper questions this morning. Some things that will maybe help us as we go through the sermon today. And the first one is this. Where is my hope anchored? Is my hope anchored in a political party, a person, or is my hope anchored in Jesus Christ? The second question is, do I believe that the outcome of this election can change God's eternal plan? We can go home. God is sovereign, right? Nothing that happens is going to change the outcome of God's eternal plan. Nothing. Satan tried to change it. Guess what? He just hoped to move it ahead. Nothing can change God's plan of eternity, period, because God is sovereign. Let's consider this. What if the events and the leaders in our world, whether we agree with them or not, I just want you to know I'm still in the first paragraph on my notes here. Whether we agree with events or leaders in our world, they are all part of God's intricate plan to bring about His purposes. Amen. Every one of them is a part in His plan to bring about His purposes. And church, we can find peace in knowing that our sovereign God is and always has been in control. Hallelujah. Period. So here's the truth that we can hang on today. No matter who wins the election, God is sovereign over all. He is sovereign over all authorities. He's sovereign over everything leading toward His eternal plan. And we as Christians today, we can trust that He is at work Even if your political party doesn't win on Tuesday, God is at work. He is sovereign over that situation. And our hope is not in earthly things, but our hope is ultimately in His kingdom. Not earthly governments, not earthly institutions, not people. So if you have your Bible with you, it's going to feel a little bit different today, but different is good, trust me. Our Bible scriptures are going to also be our points today. So instead of a main scripture, our points are our Bible reading. So our main Bible scripture this morning is Daniel chapter 2, verse 21. And if you have your Bible, open it up. If not, share with somebody or look at the screen. They will all be there. But then our secondary scriptures that we're going to have this morning is Romans chapter 13, verse 1. I know I'm throwing a lot of numbers at you here, but again, they will be on the screen. And then 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. And while you turn there, I just want to read a little bit of a story that summarizes King Saul. And it explains, I think in good context, of God's sovereignty over all situations. Here's how that story goes. Israel longed for a king, desperate to be like other nations. God gave them Saul, a tall, strong leader who looked every bit the part. Saul began well, but over time his heart drifted. Eventually he disobeyed God by keeping forbidden spoils from a battle. Heartbroken, the prophet Samuel told Saul, "Because you have rejected God's command, he has rejected you as king." But God had another plan. In the small town of Bethlehem, God's gaze fell upon a young shepherd named, anybody know? David. A young shepherd named David. David certainly didn't have Saul's stature or reputation, but here's what David had. David had a heart after God. So God sent Samuel to anoint David as Israel's future king, even though he was still a boy and Saul was still on the throne. David served Saul faithfully, waiting for God's timing instead of taking matter into his own hands. Listen, if you read the Old Testament, you can read most of this. If you're in our Bible reading, and you would have already read this. And in the end, Saul's reign eventually fell. And David, through God's timing, became king, showing that God's purposes are never thwarted. Even when leadership or power shifts, God remains sovereign, guiding everything toward His perfect plan. That shows today God's sovereignty and placing leaders in authority. So our scriptures today, as I already stated, they will help serve our points today. And our first point is this: God sets up and removes leaders. Okay? This comes from Daniel chapter 2, verse 21. And it says this: He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. I see some pictures being taken of the... We good? Okay. So this verse, what we just read, Daniel 2, verse 20, or chapter 2, verse 21, is from a passage where Daniel interprets King Nebuchadnezzar's dream, revealing God's control over all the rise and fall of kingdoms. God is very clearly stating His authority over that. In Daniel's time, Babylon was the dominant empire, yet God demonstrated that He could change the course of history according to His will. Because whatever He says happens. God is sovereign over all things. And Daniel's word should remind us today that God even has authority over earthly powers. Human leaders may seem powerful, but their authority is ultimately temporary, and it's also granted by God alone. Now, that may be a tough pill for some to swallow, depending on how the election goes for you on Tuesday night. What you need to understand is God puts leaders in power. Let's let that marinate for a second, because that can be hard to understand. It doesn't matter if you wake up Wednesday feeling like you won or you lost. God put that person in power. Okay? Universal agreement on that, right? Okay. So regardless of our political preferences or the election outcomes, we can be assured from Daniel 2:21 that God has ultimate control. Political changes may seem alarming, but each leader serves a purpose within God's timeline. Babylon served a purpose in God's timeline. America serves a purpose. Whoever our elected officials, they serve a purpose in God's timeline. So we don't put our hope in human leaders. We put our hope in God because we know God's plan will prevail. Why? Because God is sovereign. Feel free to say it with me when you hear me teeing it up next time, okay? God is sovereign. And here's what we can be sure of, church. God is never surprised by election outcomes. He is not surprised. He already knows. And every leader serves part of his bigger purpose. Whether or not, this is key, whether or not that leader acknowledges his existence. Let me repeat that. Every leader serves part of his larger purpose, whether or not they acknowledge him. If you were to look at a timeline of eternity and put us on there, you know, we're less than a pin. That's our existence. So we're all part of his plan and his purpose, bringing about eternity. Consider the empires throughout history, Babylon, Persia, Rome. Each one rose, each one served its purpose, and guess what? Each one eventually fell. God's kingdom, however, will never fall because it is eternal. This should help us, and I pray that it does help us, remember that while leaders and nations change, God's reign is steadfast because God is sovereign. Okay? We good? Let's go on to the next one. The second is God's sovereign plan for his people. Okay, this one comes from Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. So this shows us God's sovereign plan for his people. So the Apostle Paul wrote this to encourage believers who were facing persecution. He was reminding them that God is actively working in all things, even their trials, for their good and for his glory, because God is sovereign. Now, let's put a side note here. God's good, right? Let's put good in parentheses. God's good isn't always aligned with what we would define as good in the short term. God's good does not align with what we call good. Okay? His plans encompass a much larger perspective, one that often includes challenges and even difficult leaders or difficult circumstances to refine and to strengthen his people. I said that at the very beginning. We go through things so we come out stronger in our faith and our relationship with the Lord. So guess what? If you're walking through a trial right now, it's for your good. No matter how hard that pill is to swallow this morning, it is for your good. It is part of God's greater plan, and it's because he is sovereign over all things. So for us as followers of Jesus, trusting in God's sovereignty, it means believing that every situation we face, every leader that is put into leadership, and every law. Hard pause on that, because what have we talked about the last few weeks? We talked about the importance of the Christian vote. We talked about abortion. We talked about immigration. We talked about identity. These are all things that can be impacted by law. Okay? So, all of this, let me reread that and bring that about here. For us as followers of Jesus, trusting God's sovereignty means that we believe that every situation, every leader, and every law that is part, it is all part of a grand narrative designed to grow and strengthen us in our relationship with the Lord. No matter what we face, it is all bringing about His good. Even when we don't understand why things happen or why this leader got in or what was God doing, was He not paying attention on Tuesday night? He could have stopped this from happening, right? We have to trust that God's purpose is ultimately for our eternal good. We are going to be inconvenienced. I hope I just launched that on your phone for me talking, Braden. It is, we may be inconvenienced while on this earth. Has anybody had an inconvenience this week? Right? If we're being honest, we've all been inconvenienced at some way, point, or shape through this week. But everything that we face, we can trust that God's purpose is ultimately for our eternal good. Because it makes our faith stronger. So consider, if you will, the story of Joseph in Genesis. He was sold by his brothers because he was dad's favorite. Sold by his brothers. He was imprisoned unjustly. And then what happened? He was elevated to power in Egypt to save his family from famine. Joseph couldn't see, I can promise you, that Joseph couldn't see God's plan during his suffering, during being betrayed by his brothers and sold into slavery, and then being falsely accused, and then being thrown into prison, and then being forgotten for 3 years before he was brought back forth. Joseph could not see God's plan during his suffering, but he later said to his brothers in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, you can write that down and go read it if you would like to. Joseph said this, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good." God is sovereign over all things. So this should remind us that even our disappointments and our uncertainties serve as a divine purpose. There's a divine purpose in being disappointed. There's a divine purpose in uncertainties in life. There is a divine purpose in facing trials in life. God has a better plan than you and I can ever begin to fathom, to begin to understand. God's plans are not thwarted by human actions. He uses imperfect leaders to fulfill His purpose. And our ultimate hope, our security, are not found in those leaders, but they are found in Him. Period. They are found in Him. You ready for the third one? Our response as Christians. This comes from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. And it says this, "First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people." This is key. You ready? "For kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way." Paul here was urging Timothy and the Ephesian church to pray for everyone, including rulers and some who were not favorable towards Christians. Aren't we in the exact same situation today? So this instruction highlights that prayer is a powerful way to affect change and that God is in control regardless of who is in authority. Have you ever had somebody you didn't like? Be honest. You want to change your heart towards that person? Pray for him. Don't like current leadership? Pray for him. Don't like me? Pray for me. Don't like your board? Pray for your board. Serious. The fastest way to change your heart towards somebody is to pray for them. It's the hardest thing to do. Because I feel justified in being upset with this person or not liking this person. God says, pray for him. Pray for him. Rather than focusing solely on our votes or opinions about leaders, we are called to pray earnestly for them. Still go out and vote, but supplement your vote with prayer. Because we can pray every day. We can only vote for president once every 4 years. So let's get more in the habit of praying and calling other people to pray than we are worried about the vote. Not diminishing the vote. The vote's just as important. But let's spend time being worried about prayer than we are about the vote. So this includes also praying for our leaders to make wise and just decisions, even when we disagree with them. Did you know that even here in our church, not every decision we make is liked by everybody? I really feel like we're stepping on toes this morning here. Listen, it's true. If you are in any sort of leadership, you will quickly find out you cannot make 100% of the people happy 100% of the time. And yet we're just out here trying to do our best. So, pray that your leaders would make wise and just decisions, even if you disagree with them. I would put in, take out even and put when you disagree with them. Pray for them. Lift them up in prayer. Prayer is an acknowledgement. Here's And you can write this down if you want. I should have put this on my own slide here. Prayer is an acknowledgement of God's ultimate authority. But because it is relinquishing control back to the one who can control. Not our worry that we all carry every day. But let's relinquish it back to God. Let's let God have it. And this passage also challenges us to shift from a place of criticism or a place of fear to one of prayer. It's easy to criticize. It's a lot harder to pray. See, when we pray for leaders, we contribute to God's work in their lives, and we open ourselves to live in peace, trusting God's plan over our preferences. During the time of the early church, you look at emperors like Roman emperors like Nero, who were very hostile towards Christians. Yet, believers were called to pray for them. Today, whether we agree or we disagree with a leader, our prayers are a way to show trust in God's control and then to align ourselves with His will for our nation. Because God is sovereign over all things. Terry, there is nothing you can change that, but you can pray and you can let your heart become aligned with God's plan. Cole, same thing for you. Same thing for everyone. I wasn't just trying to call out Terry. Terry, don't take that personal. But I'm trying to make this personal. There is nothing, not any single one of us can do that is going to change God's plan. We just get to serve alongside Him in bringing about His plan, which is not for us to live a happy, prosperous life, but it's to bring us into eternity where sin is gone forever and we get to live in glory forever. Wrap your head around that for a minute. This is but a moment. This is but a blimp. This is like Arvin flipping the light switch on and off. That is how long our life is compared to eternity. So we get to be a part of God's plan. Okay? So as the election comes to an end this week, let's reflect on these three scriptures. Write them down. Daniel 2, 21, Romans 8, 28, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. Let's reflect on these and let's recognize that God's sovereignty is far beyond earthly politics. They have no bearing on that. And then let's let our faith rest in His unchanging kingdom. And no matter what the election result is of our leadership, they cannot change or they cannot disrupt His eternal plan. Guess what? There comes a day when the United States doesn't exist anymore. There comes a day when this world as we know it, gone. As fast as God created it, is as fast as it's going to disappear. And there's nothing you can do about it. You want to talk about helpless, that's helpless. But guess what? It's not about our helplessness, it's about our hope. And who does our hope lie in? King Jesus. In God's sovereignty, that's where it lies in. So therefore, we can confidently live out our calling no matter what happens, no matter what grocery prices do, no matter what gas prices do. Listen, it does not matter because we can live out our lives confidently knowing that God remains sovereign, that God remains faithful regardless of who is voted in as our next leader. It really kind of takes the pressure away from the elections, doesn't it? It has nothing to do with us, but everything to do with His eternal plan. Are we going to be inconvenienced? Yeah, you better believe it. God didn't say your life's going to be wonderful while you live here, did He? It's going to be better. It's not going to be easier. And it's better because we know Him versus not knowing Him. Okay? Now, for those who don't have a relationship with Jesus, I'm just going to tell you, everything we've talked about is going to be a big concern for them. All of this is going to be red flags. All of this is going to be, I don't know, they don't even understand what hope is. Listen, I don't want to leave us hanging just there with those three things. And there's one more that I have to share with you, and it's the answer to the hopeless question, but it's also the best point to this sermon. Are you ready? Are you fired up? Come on. God's sovereign plan of redemption. John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." God's sovereign plan of redemption. From Genesis to the book of Revelation, God's plan of salvation unfolds in a world that is filled with imperfect leaders. You can see it all throughout as you read, as we're going through our Bible reading plan. We have seen terrible leaders. We have seen ungodly leaders. We have seen those who have started godly and ended ungodly. We have seen those who have been ungodly who have turned godly. We have seen every type of leader to ever exist from the front to the back page of this book. It has broken systems. There are turbulent times. You cannot read this and tell me you don't find imperfect systems, that you cannot find turbulent times. But despite shifting politics, God's sovereign purposes will always redeem us. They will always see us through. And Jesus Christ remains unwavering. It does not impact Him. It does not stop Him. It is all leading to the point of eternity with Him. So God's sending of Jesus into the world, believe it or not, was not by chance. It was a culmination of His plan. It was all part of His sovereign plan, of His divine plan from the very beginning. Christ entered into history, didn't He? He was born of a baby. He submitted to earthly rulers. In fact, we read Matthew chapter 22 in our Bible reading plan, and they tried to trick Jesus and say, "Do we need to pay taxes?" And Jesus says, "Bring me a denarii, let me see. Whose inscription, whose likeness is that?" "Well, it's Caesar." "Then pay to Caesar what is owed to Caesar, and give to God what is of God." Jesus submitted to earthly authority while He was here. He also endured the cross. He died a criminal's death. His body was broken. His blood was poured out. He was buried in the grave. And in 3 days, He stood over sin and death once and for all. Are you awake this morning? feel like I'm going to have no voice this afternoon, but this is totally worth it. The gospel reminds us, regardless of political landscapes, Jesus reigns supreme. Just as God placed leaders and nations for His purposes, He calls each one of us. Each one of us today, He calls us to respond to His grace. No matter what's happening around us politically, the gospel calls us to be citizens of God's kingdom. His kingdom that is eternal, unshakable, and welcoming to all who place their faith in Jesus. That is who we get to place our faith in this morning. Not in these earthly systems that are flawed by man. So our true hope is in Christ. Our true hope is in Christ Jesus, not earthly leaders. Because we all know earthly leaders come and go. But Christ's kingdom is forever. And this is our peace, regardless of the election outcome on Tuesday night. The gospel compels us not only to rest in God's sovereignty, but also to share His sovereignty and His hope with others. We talked about what the hopeless didn't have. They don't have what we have. Guess what? They need what we have. They don't know it, but they need it. They may yearn for it. They don't understand what they're looking for. It is our job. Not just my job. My job is to encourage you, to disciple you, to build you up, to get you all worked up so Monday morning you're able to go out with all the power and authority that the Holy Spirit has imparted on you as a believer in Christ to share the gospel message. It is our job to go forth and to share the gospel message, to spread the message of the gospel so others can find peace, purpose, eternal security, and hope in Christ Jesus. After all, this is what engaging our community for Jesus is. Because God is sovereign. Would you stand to your feet this morning with me? I want to ask you a couple of questions this morning. And one of them we started with, and close your eyes, bow your heads. Just let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Have your heart open. Let God do a work that only He can do. Be open to what He's saying to you this morning. Where do you lay your ultimate hope? Where do you place your hope? Political leaders, parties, and policies, they're forever going to change. But rest assured this morning that God's kingdom stands God's kingdom does not go away. It does not change. And the cross is the greatest proof of His love and His sovereign plan for each of us. He died so that we could be here today, that we could give our lives to Jesus today, that we could trust in Him today. And if you haven't already, right now in this moment is the perfect moment to place your trust in Jesus. The King who will never be voted out, He will never be removed from His throne, whose love for you is eternal, you can never change that, and where your hope will never fail you. That is what we find in Christ Jesus. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." So in this moment, whether this is in a brand new way or this is in a fresh way, you can call on the name of the Lord. And if that is you this morning, would you please, with every head bowed and every eye closed, would you please just raise your hand if you'd like to respond to that message today? Amen. And church, I realize that we've got a lot of things taking place today after service. But believe me, wait. Chairs can wait to be carried out. Sound, the stage can wait to be torn down. Your meal can wait. I know everyone's hungry because we're an hour back. But listen, as we end today, I believe that God is asking us to respond. I believe He is calling us to respond. This just doesn't have to deal with political. I know it's biblical perspective for political issues, but guess what? God's sovereignty impacts every area of your life. So whether you are carrying on to worry, you're fighting a trial, or you're facing uncertainty, or you're holding on trying to control something that you shouldn't be trying to control, maybe you're feeling unsure what the future holds for you. Maybe you don't know what's next. Maybe you're concerned about the political outcome on Tuesday. Whatever it is, come forward and lay it down at the feet of Jesus. Step forward to show that you trust God, that you trust His sovereignty, that no matter what the outcome is, no matter what leader is put in place, what decision is made, God is sovereign and your trust is in Him. It is up to you this morning to not leave with those burdens. I can't make you leave those burdens here, but it is by coming to the front to open your heart to God and let Him give you peace and strength. Church, this morning the altar is open, and I implore you to take this moment to meet with God and let Him work in you right now. It is up to you to receive His peace this morning.